Wednesday evening, 8:23:23. We're going to look at Laying a Good Foundation, Part 2. So with that, let's turn. We read these scriptures last week. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, this word right here is an account of those that heard him. Right here. You know, a lot of people discount the Word of God today because, well, they say it's all missing. But I mean, even if, right here, it said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. I'm going, you know, God doesn't, he watches over his word to perform it. Just think about that. He's not haphazard about his word. Is it asinine to believe that he preserved it? All right. Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles, verse 1, of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. In other words, we'll let the Lord lead us, and brother, you're ready to move on. Well, the one I want to look to tonight is, well, first, repentance here, from repentance from dead works. That's what I'm going to look at. Repentance means reversal, right? Reversal. Once what was once eternal is now in it. What was once external is now internal. That word dead means a corpse. Works mean just means toil as an effort, occupation, or an act. What used to be a bunch of just fleshly observances is now moved into the eternal, inside, internal, not eternal, internal, okay? Now we have to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. If every Christian moved like that, at the promptings of the Holy Spirit, God, just think where we'd be. If we all followed the Lord instead of just tried to just do works. There's some that are Christians that they don't know anything about the Spirit-filled walk or following the Holy Spirit. All they know is, well, this is what I thought was best, and they just do it. That's not how God operates. Jesus showed his inner circle about this before he went back to the Father. In fact, that's what his whole ministry was about. It was about the new dispensation that was coming, that a change-up was coming. All right, we're going to get into it then. Right here, Matthew 17. I'll wait for y'all to get there. All right. And after 6 days, verse 1, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. This was his inner circle. His brother, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Old guard here. Old what they were used to. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What was the purpose of the transfiguration? Out with the old, in with the new. There was a witness. What was the law based on? Moses. That dispensation. All this external stuff, all the making of the tabernacle, making all the instruments and the altar and all the stuff. And all the rules and regulations that went with it, they had to follow it to the law. Because you could get struck dead if you got behind that Holy of Holies and you were not the high priest once a year. So Peter's going, yeah, we need to make a tabernacle. No. The Lord said, no, listen to him. Listen to him. This is one I've sent. Listen to him. That would be the hardest thing in the world to get people to just listen to him. Well, what does the Lord want you to do? I don't know. Well, why don't you know? All right, let's keep going. God said to hear him. Time for the old to go away and the new's coming. That's what his 3 years was about, to get them ready for the new. Like the old wine can't be put into new bottles. All right. Matthew 27. This is going to be verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard this said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That veil, I forget, I've studied on it before and it's been a long time, but it was one of these that it was so high that no man could have rent it. No man did it. So God supernaturally rent the veil. Not only that, he come out of the box. So if you found the Ark of the Covenant, I mean, yeah, it's a relic, and it should be preserved for what it is, but there's no power in that Ark. God's not in it anymore. All right. Well, Peter had some difficulty, according to the scripture, with letting go of the old and embracing the new. All right, we're going to look at Acts 10. Repentance from dead works. What are dead works? It's just stuff you just do. You just do it. You don't ask God about it. You just do it, or you're taught to do it, and you don't ever find out for yourself, should I be doing this or not? I remember something Keith Moore said, and it stuck with me because that's what the Lord's done with me for the last 9 years. He had me, well, a lot of stuff that I believed, I had to change my mind on. because he showed me the truth. But this is what Keith Moore said. He said the Lord had him go back and qualify why he believed, everything he believed, and qualify it through the scripture, and that he better know what he believed. He said, well, you know, we've been taught this and we've been taught that. A lot of people have. We hear people, and they're very adamant about what they believe, but are they taught because the institution they're in teaches that? Or are they taught because God himself, through his word, has revealed it to them? There is a big difference. I don't want to do anything God's not in. I don't want to keep going back into a box or to bow down to something like that. An institution or a doctrine or whatever, if it's not in God's word. Why do you believe what you believe? I think that may be my new series. Why do we do what we do? Why do we believe what we believe? Is it just because it's just words on a page? Or do you really have a revelation about it? It's like we talked about last time, baptism. They say, I didn't realize it's in the Bible so many times. Yeah, it's important if it's one of the foundations. It most definitely is important. It has a reason for why we do it. All right, let's read this. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. God had to do this. Peter, as an apostle to this new church, had to have his doctrine straight. Think about that. Pretty spectacular. He saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. I tell you what, the things that you receive by yourself from God, it'll keep you like a rock. And when all the people, all the gainsayers are out there saying everything else, you can say, no, I know. I know God spoke that to me. You cannot pull it out of me. You can't. That's the way we got to walk in these days. Nobody could beat it out of us with a ball bat. When you walked personally with the Father, you cannot. I don't care what anybody says. But let me say this. We all have a part, and God will show us our part. We may not do what they're doing, and we may not have the information they have, but we have the information we need to do what He's called us to do. So think about that. Because everything you hear from everybody is not wrong. Some of it may be, but if God has spoken to them about that, woe be it to me to say, don't do it. That's kind of common around among preachers. If you're not saying exactly what they're saying and doing what they're saying, what they are doing, then, well, they're false. No, they're not. They have their lane. God's not going to show you everything about everything. I don't believe He will. I don't think we have enough until we are our youth are renewed or whatever, we're going to live a lot more years and have a lot more years to learn. Maybe so. But He gives us what we need to do what He has asked us to do. Are there areas that you haven't looked into that you really don't know anything about? Sure. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together, and he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew. There's that Jew junk. It's no longer valid. When that temple was rent, God left the building like Elvis. There wasn't going to be any more of that ever again. That it is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call for hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace of Jesus Christ, his Lord of all, the word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believed in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They're like so many Jews today, think they're exclusive. And came with Peter. There were as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered Peter, Can any man forbid that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And have he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord? Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I tell you what, it kind of brought an uproar in the church. Are the Jewish assemblies. All right, let's keep going here. Galatians 2. Sometimes old habits die hard. I don't take it kindly when I have heard from God and someone says, well, if you believe that way, you're a false teacher. It flies all over me. But you know what? I just realized that they just don't know any better. You know? I know what God has said to me, and nobody can take it from me. Are you? All right, Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withheld and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. See, this is that repentance of dead works. Like Peter talked about the dog going back to the vomit. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? I mean, it didn't work for the Jews. Why in the world would they want to push it on the rest of the world? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, if therefore Christ is minister of sin, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If the law could have done it, Jesus would have never came. This is the doctrine that they had to lay down to these people. Now, the Gentiles, they didn't know any better. They didn't know the law. They didn't, you know, they had heathen gods. Seemed like it was easier for them to receive the gospel than the Jews that had been used to the tabernacle and all the little things that they had to do. All right, when Jesus was here, he talked about this new way that was coming so the people would be prepared. We're going to look at a few of those. John 1. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All right, I've got a few scriptures here, so bear with me. Turn to John 4. I know these are scriptures you know. But you shall know the truth shall make you free. When you know them, when you really know them, that means you've got revelation knowledge on that. All right. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, which from what I understand of Samaria is a half-breed Jew. They were kind of looked at as dogs, not pure blood. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. You know, in the old covenant, they didn't go to heaven. They had to go below into paradise. They couldn't even go to be with the Father. Not till Jesus came. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. But he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. It was no different than it is today. If you don't believe like we do, you know, this is the way you ought to be doing it, not the way you're doing it, right? That's what kind of she's saying here. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, there's none of these going to be in these sects anymore. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Yeah. All right, flip over to the John 16. Jesus speaking here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's why you don't have to be indoctrinated. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. They're all one, three but one. All right, turn to 18. This is Jesus talking to Pilate here. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Totally different place. All right, we're going to go over to Hebrews and kind of look into just a little bit of the kind of how it was set up. Hebrews chapter 7. Get me a drink here. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. This is, I'm starting with verse 1 there. Being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes on Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, not to be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. We're under a different law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests which were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because of he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lived to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now, of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. See, man's hands, God don't want none of it. Even for a Jew, none of it. He's not in it anymore. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. So to go back under that, to preach that Christians ought to go back under that, this is dead works that God is not in. I mean, Paul come down on Peter pretty hard, because this is deadly. We talked about the little leaven. If you think about, I was thinking about baking bread in that bread machine. You put just a little bit of leaven to that whole big old loaf, and what does it do? It puffs that loaf up, looks like a balloon. Well, that's what happens through the body of Christ when this kind of nonsense is taught and embraced. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. See, he took the wall down between us. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Here's that knowing. Here's that knowing God in our hearts, not just the surface, just reading something. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. If every Christian would take this seriously and know, if they would renew their mind with the Word of God and know God's will. I mean, in the Old Covenant, they had those tablets of stone. And you didn't dare break that law. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He has totally abandoned it. See, this is why this ministry has the mandate from God to set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. I think the worst stronghold is religious strongholds. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances, a divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tabernacle of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went also always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second with the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time that then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I feel sorry for the Jews. They're going to hell if they're not born again. Jesus is the only way to the Father, not by these ordinances. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is enforced after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. He took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Do you know why there's not much to say in the new covenant about anything? Because it's by the Spirit. The Spirit speaks inside. Now, there's guidelines that Paul laid down about ordering the church and different things. But we're supposed to be hearing from the inside. Not a bunch of ordinance up on plaques so that you know not to do this, not to do that. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. I'm sorry, but it ain't. He's not entering them man-made things. He's not in it. Which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest and enter into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm going to read 10, so bear with me. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Why do people want to do all of these things? They feel like they have to do all these things to assure their salvation. Just listen to the way they talk and how they act. It's like Jesus never did anything for them. Well, you're going to go to hell if you worship not on the right day or whatever. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin thou hast had no pleasure. It wasn't his idea in the first place. If he could have got him out of Egypt to walk by faith, he put something on them they couldn't possibly keep. Then I said, lo, I'll come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath its pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. You know what gives him pleasure? When you hear his voice and you follow him, he's the good shepherd. not doctrinated. You don't have to know a bunch of creeds and different kind of bull. That's just all because they don't have the power of God, so they got to make up garbage. Credences to go by. No. This new church is going to teach people to follow the Lord. Follow him in your heart. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. You know what Jesus said about those guys? You're just dead men's bones. You're like sepulchers. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more. I'm not going to read anymore. I think I've made my point today. You follow the Lord in your heart. And if they take this away, the word lives in you. Plain and simple. All right. I've got some intel. We can put it on.